And we're moving to the last talk in the session, which is about color schemes in data visualization, bias and precision. And our speaker is Will Cornwell. Please, Will.
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me in the back?
I do. Time is over there.
Okay, thanks. So just by way of introduction, my name is Will Cornwell. I did my PhD here at Stanford in the biology department a couple hundred meters away. And I'm now at UNSW Australia. And I got into this question, or this whole area of research, from a really practical point of view. I needed to actually visualize a bunch of data on a map. And I needed to pick a color scheme to make that map. And so I did what probably a lot of you have done, which is I Googled the question. I tried to learn a little bit about color schemes. And there's a lot of really, really thoughtful stuff out there on the web, and people have really thought about this in detail. But I'm a scientist. I really like data. And when I tried to track back from these blog posts to find the actual papers where there's actual data about color visualization, I had a lot of trouble. And so also as a scientist, I realized that not being able to find the original experiments was actually a research opportunity. So what I did was, about 3 years ago, we put together a team of people to actually work on this question a little bit. This is Rich Fitzjohn, who actually I think has showed up in 3 or 4 talks that I've been at. He's a very, very good R programmer. He's now in London. Rita Sosa, who's an experimental psychologist at the University of Technology, Sydney. And this is Kendra Luong, who was my graduate student, and she now visualizes data for the New South Wales Department of Health. And actually, pretty much all of the work that I'm going to show you was done by Kendra. So when I say we, really, I just mean Kendra. So as you're probably aware, we looked through Science Magazine very rigorously and counted the number of papers that used color in visualization. It turns out to be about 50% of papers published in 2015 used color visualization across all fields, from biology to physics to geography to paleontology to genetics, really widespread, and no best practices. So lots and lots of different schemes. Everything you can imagine is being published using every way that you could use color to visualize data is currently in practice. So when we were thinking about the problem, the actual thing that you want is starting out with some sort of continuous data. You need to visualize that as a particular color scheme. And then the reader has to see that data, process the color in the brain to go back to the original data. And this whole process has to introduce as little error as possible. That's kind of the simple problem. It gets a lot more complicated when you start to understand how color is processed in the brain. And this is the simplest possible visualization that I could come up with for this. And I don't actually have time to explain it all, but this is called an opponent process. And the way that the signals from the cones and rods in your eyes are processed into color depends on a lot of different things. And the most troubling one is this relative quantity thing. So it's relative to the other things you're seeing at a given time. So super complicated. Then layered on top of that, there's a whole cognitive set of processes. And this was a paper in PNAS from 2010. And they showed that Russian speakers, so in Russian, there's two different words for light blue and dark blue. And actually, when you test how Russians perceive blue, they perceive light blues to be much more different than dark blues, compared to people who have only one word for blue in their native language. So there's a whole set of cognitive processes that go on top of this opponent process. So super, super complicated. And that's what leads to all of this complexity is what leads to these paradoxes that I'm sure a lot of you saw on Facebook a couple years ago. But all of this matters for when we get to the actual data visualization problem. So there is another line of research that doesn't go for the mechanism, that takes a very empirical approach to this problem. And this was an organization that was founded in France in the early part of the 20th century. Now it still exists, it's now in Vienna. And they tried to experimentally create a color space in which is perceptually uniform. So just based on experiments using paint chips, they tried to create a space which they called the lab space. So L is for lightness, A and B are arbitrary parameters. And the problem that they had at the time was that they were trying to, one of the problems was to recreate paintings using different printing systems. And so this is one of the tools which people, when you read about color visualization, they use this color space quite frequently. But it wasn't designed for this. It wasn't designed for data visualization, and it wasn't tested for data visualization. So that was what we're going to get to. But before I do that, and I apologize if there's any statisticians in the room, this is going to be rather basic, but there are two ways that you can be wrong. So you can be biased or you can be imprecise. So precision is consistent results in this context. So this particular place where the question mark is on this data visualization corresponds to some value. If you're precise, all of the observers will reconstruct very close to the same value. And to visualize that, you have the true value here on the x-axis, the estimated value on the y-axis, and all of the points will fall along that line. The opposite, so if it's not very precise, if precision is low, you just get a lot of scatter around that. So there's a lot of scatter in people's perceptions of what data value that color represents. Bias is a different problem. So if in the low bias case, here's the value, you reconstruct it. This is what people are, if everyone reconstructs exactly what the true value is, the points again fall along the one-to-one line, and there's low bias in that representation. Alternately, you can have a high bias representation. So if everyone who sees that color reconstructs a similar value, but that value is different than the true value, then you end up with a biased reconstruction in the observer's mind. And the points in this same plot then do not fall on the one-to-one line. So then there is a systematic deviation from the one-to-one line. So those are the two ways that you can be wrong. So experimentally, what we wanted to do was to evaluate the performance of six color schemes in terms of bias and precision. And we also, especially the experimental psychologists involved, were really interested in this, wanted to evaluate the response time. So how long did it take the observers to make their reconstruction? So we told the observers to go as fast as they could, and we measured how long that actually took. And the third one, we also had the observers evaluate the aesthetic appeal of a given data visualization. And that was because I think that's how most people actually make color visualizations. They play around with the color schemes until they get something pretty, and then they go with that. So we had two relatively simple hypotheses. A lot of people have made the point that the rainbow type schemes lead to biased reconstructions, and we wanted to see if that would our data would reconfirm that or show that. I couldn't find any data that showed that. And the second one was the Keats hypothesis. So Keats said, truth is beauty, beauty truth. And so we wanted to see if the pretty color schemes somehow communicated data better. So these were the six ones that we chose. We chose them based on our survey of Science Magazine from 2015. Two single hue schemes, so grayscale and blue. One two-color scheme, which is here, yellow-red. Red, white, blue, which is called a diverging scheme. So there's a white in the middle, and then you have a trajectory in lightness in both directions. And then two rainbow schemes. This was the default one in R, and this was a recently released more thoughtfully designed rainbow scheme. And all of these you can visualize as trajectories in this three-dimensional lab space as defined by CIE. So the grayscale is just a linear trajectory in that space. The RGB spectral is this crazy, crazy shape without regard to this particular space. Yellow-red is a parabola in that space. And the MATLAB spectral is more equally spaced, but there still are these strong corners in the trajectory. So the study design, we used two separate in-person experiments with UNSW, my university undergraduates. We brought them into an office, had them look at a computer monitor in a very real-life sort of situation. We built a framework for doing this using Shiny and LogR, so if you helped build those packages, they were really awesome. And they really work well for doing this survey type work. We had a perceptual linearity experiment and then a map reading experiment. The first one, we just took one of the color schemes, very, very simple experiments, showed the observer the boundary colors, so the 1 and 100, and then asked them to estimate the middle. What is the value of the middle color? Really simple experiment. The second one is a slightly more real world type of use of color visualization. So this is a map of London. We randomized the colors. I showed them a legend with the number of cats here, and then asked them how many cats there are in the region with the A in it. And so they're extremely simple experiments. And then we just collected a whole lot of data on that. How we actually measured bias and precision, what we did was, this is again the same axis that I showed you before, so true value on the x-axis, estimated value on the y-axis. These are the data points, or density plots of the data points. And that curve is the locally weighted regression curve. And so we define bias as the total absolute area between that curve and the one-to-one line. So was there a systematic difference in the local regression compared to the true value? In precision, which is the opposite of precision, is the standard deviation at each point. So how much scatter is there at each point? And then we analyzed response times and color preferences using mixed effect models, ANOVAs, and postdoc tests. So the results, what we found for bias was that there's strong differences. So the way to visualize bias in these plots is the waviness of the line. So for example, for this RGB spectral one, so this is the real data from the real experiment, you see a flat area here where there is green within the green band on the color scheme. And then you have sharp transitions between hues. And that turns out, when you do the lowest, when you estimate the area, that turns out to be high bias. So the least biased one was the blue scheme, so the very simple scheme. So it was relatively right along the one-to-one line. The second least biased one was the yellow-red, so the two color scheme. The third least biased one was the grayscale. The fourth was the MATLAB spectral, fifth RGB spectral, and the diverging one, the red-white-blue one, was the most biased in. Biased is the area in between the lowest regression and the one-to-one line. So it's that red area. So if there's a strong bias, the local regression is a long way from the observers are estimating a value which is consistently estimating a value which is different than the true value.
High bias is bad.
High bias is bad. High bias is bad. So the results for precision, you can visualize precision in the data as the spread of these green points here. And what we found is the most precise one was the MATLAB spectral scheme. So with lots of hues, you get very precise reconstructions of what the true values were. The RGB spectral was the second most. The red, white, blue was the third. The fourth was yellow, red. And then the fifth and sixth, the blue and the gray, the really simple schemes, did really poorly in terms of the precision of the reconstructions. So it's almost exactly the reverse order when you look at the errors in terms of precision as you do when you look at them in terms of bias. For the response times, the multi-hue schemes were consistently, this is the raw data, but when you include an observer as a random effect, this was even stronger and highly significant. The MATLAB spectral, the multi-hue schemes took a lot longer for the observers to estimate, to give their answers. So that if you're an experimental psychologist, they interpret this as there's more cognitive processing of those
of those schemes. So you have to think, what's the order of the rainbow before you can reconstruct the value. For color preferences, we found that grayscale was the only one that people didn't like. And somewhat surprisingly, I had a preference. There were ones that I thought were really pretty and ones that I thought were ugly, but there was no consistency when you take a broad spectrum. So actually, I think using the prettiness of a figure as an argument for that color scheme, I think, is flawed, and because everyone's got their own opinion about that. So revisiting the hypotheses, the spectral scheme can be highly biased. I think that's what the data seems to show. So the multi-hue ones are more biased than the simple schemes. And for the Keats hypothesis, it didn't seem to be supported because there is no consistency in what is pretty in terms of data visualization. So this is the final thing I want to leave you with, is this: when you think about using color to visualize data, I think there is a bias precision trade-off. So if you think about the lack of bias here and then precision here, what you're going for is this perfect data communication via color. You want to be up here with low bias and highly precise communication, introducing no error, basically, between the data and what the observer imagines. But it appears that because of the really weird way that humans process color, the constraints of that system that's going on in our heads, we can't actually get there given the way our brains work. And that there is some boundary to what we can do, at least with current color schemes. And the color schemes that we tested seem to fall along this line. So the simple schemes with just one color, linear transitions in LEB space, are completely unbiased, but the precision is really low. And the more complicated the scheme that you choose, and the more hues there are in the scheme, you get more precision in what the reader is reconstructing, but you're introducing, as you make the color schemes more complicated, you introduce more bias. And so I think this is the real important conceptual thing to think about when we choose color schemes. So thanks for everyone. This is the list of packages it took to do our project. So thank you if you contributed one of those packages, and take questions.
I guess I care a lot about this issue because I'm designing graphics for colorblind users a lot. I just wondered if you could comment on doing that same experiment, if you did it with hatched patterns within the colors, do you think the results would be very different?
What do you mean by hatched patterns?
Dots, dashes, etc.
I don't know. We'd have to check. It would be really interesting to do this with a population of colorblind people, but finding them is really actually.
Yeah. Well, great work.
I'm not sure if I probably missed it, but I was curious, which way the maps were presented to participants, whether it was a printed map or it was on the screen?
It's on the screen.
Okay, so this is just for viewing the maps on the screen, not printed one, right?
Yeah,
okay.
So this is in the RGB visualization on a standard monitor. If you go to the printing, different types of printers do this all differently, and it introduces
a
whole.
Yeah, so that's curious if there's different way of perception. But, yeah. Okay, thank you.
you mentioned that the Russians see colors a little bit differently, or have a different perception. Do you think that your audience also had influenced versus if you had taken another group? For instance, I would imagine. I would like to repeat this on color schemes that I would choose, my favorite color schemes, and put it on Mechanical Turk, for instance, or make a shiny app. And if I put it on Mechanical Turk, it turns out that 90 or 80% of the users actually are coming from India.
Yeah.
And so if I did that, then actually I would have to imagine that my results would be heavily biased towards color perception of Indians. Would you first off imagine that yours is influenced by the Australians, and would you make the analysis available so that people can repeat it with their own color schemes?
Yes. So was that was the last part of the question. The first part was
about the Australians.
About the Australians. So we had native Mandarin speakers and native English speakers, and we didn't detect any difference in between those two groups. But certainly I think that, especially for the multi-hue schemes, it depends on the cultural concept of the rainbow. So if people don't, if that hasn't been introduced really young, then you might get a difference. But within our population, we did not detect anything. But on the Mechanical Turk thing, that would be awesome. And I think that would be great, so. Yeah. I'll talk to you about it afterwards.
Yeah, but I think we have to close the session because we're running a little late and we have to welcome the chapter starting. So I would like to thank you.